food at home waiting and all that stuff. So, where am I with the Bible? Oh, sorry, I got it. I'm fine. Everybody else, take your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Amen. Hallelujah. First Corinthians 15. A lot of churches are celebrating the resurrection today when they don't even believe it. They don't even believe in the resurrection. If they do believe in the resurrection, they don't believe Jesus Christ was God. Now, the Bible says in 1 Timothy, I'm going to read it to you. 1 Timothy, it says this, and it's very important in your Bible. Take your Bible, look in 1 Timothy, hold your place in 1 Corinthians 15. Take your Bible, look in 1 Timothy chapter 3, and or 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy 3, 16. It says this, for all scripture is given by inspiration of God, it's proper for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished on all good works. Now, it says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof. And this morning, what I wanted to preach on a little bit about some doctrine. We believe in the resurrection. We believe that Jesus Christ died, paid our sin debt, went to hell. Now, notice that. He went to hell. And take your Bible now, look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I'm sorry. I'm in fast mode right now. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Timothy 3, 16. Look what this says. How many all there? Hold your hand up. You're there. 1 Timothy 3, 16. It says, without controversy, that means there's no argument about it, great is the mystery of godliness. It says God, capital G. If you got a Bible that's got a small g in it, that's not right. It's capital G. Why? Because Jesus Christ was God. And God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of the angels, preached on the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in the glory. It says God was manifest in the flesh, that was Jesus Christ, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached on the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in the glory. Now, the Bible's real clear about Jesus Christ being God. He was God in the flesh. Now, the Bible says, as many as received him, them gave he power to become sons of God, even them that believed on his name. And it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word, capital W-O-R-D, is Jesus Christ. He's called God. And if a lot of churches are celebrating today the resurrection, but they don't believe Jesus Christ is God. They don't believe he was God in the flesh. If he wasn't God in the flesh, he could not raise from the dead if he wasn't God. And he was God in the flesh. And he raised from the dead. And now 1 Corinthians 15, it says this. Look at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. See, the gospel is about the resurrection, about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The gospel is not just, you know, singing. The gospel is not just somebody talking about the Lord. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you don't have a resurrection there and a part of the gospel, then you have no gospel at all. If Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead by his own power, then there is no gospel. And the Bible tells us that. Now, if Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, he went to hell. Now, notice he hung on the cross. And if you read Psalms 22, you read Isaiah 53, you'll read about what he went through for you and I sitting here this morning. I tell you what, the truth is, if you really got a hold of what he did for you and where he had to go to pay for your sin debt, it would change your life. You wouldn't live the way you live. If you got a hold of what God did for you, you wouldn't live like you want to live. You would live for him and live to honor him if you really got a hold of that. Amen. Now, the Bible says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preach unto you, that and which also you receive and wherein you stand. I stand in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this church stands in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why we go out to win people to Jesus Christ. If you're here today, you're not saved. He said, well, I've been baptized. We had a young man got saved last week. Was it last week that said he got baptized? Was baptized. Where's he at? Right here. Stand up here, brother. He said, I said, are you saved? He said, well, I was baptized. And baptism is good, but baptism don't save you. And I said, have you ever asked Jesus Christ to save you? He said, no, sir. And he got saved last week. Thank you, brother. He got saved. There's another young man sitting over here this morning. Stand up, brother. You got saved last week. What's your name? Tell me your name. Huh? What is it? I couldn't hear. Travis? Good to have Travis got saved last week. What a blessing. Amen. Travis is saved, got saved last week. It said, look what verse 2 says. By which also you are saved by believing the gospel. If you keep in memory that what I preach unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I deliver on you first of all, notice first of all, that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scripture. There's five parts of the gospel. It's the death, burial, resurrection, according to scriptures, but it says according to scriptures twice. That's five parts. If you don't have the Bible, if you don't have the scripture, you don't have nothing. And thank God we have the Bible. It says, for I deliver unto you, first of all, which I've also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to scripture, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to scripture. Notice it says scripture. And he was seen at Caiaphas in a den of the 12, and Cephas and of the 12. And after that, he was seen above, look what it says, 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain in this present, and some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. Last of all, he was seen of me, talking about Paul, also seen of me also as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called the apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Paul went out killing Christians. If you know your history, reading your Bible, Paul went out and his mission was to kill every Christian he could find. And that's what he did. And God on the road to Damascus knocked him off his horse and said, Paul, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And Paul got saved that day and followed the Lord, and then his life was in jeopardy from then on. And look what verse 10 says. For by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace that was bestowed upon me, not in vain. But I labored more abundant than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. He says, therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you that there is no resurrection from the dead? If there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching. Look what it says. If Jesus Christ is not risen, then what we're doing here today is stupid. There's been people throughout time that made their mission in life to try to disprove. I read just the other day, a lawyer went out and to try to disprove that Jesus Christ ever existed. And the encyclopedias, every encyclopedia you pick up, there's over 20,000 words about Jesus Christ. Yeah. I mean, history, our calendars date it from the time of Christ. Yeah. Our time, A.D., after death, it's all dated back to the time of Christ. Jesus Christ was here. He was God in the flesh. He paid your sin debt. A little boy one time went to Sunday school, and they said, and it was a Resurrection Sunday, and the teacher was teaching about the resurrection. And the mother asked her little son, said, what were they teaching about? He said, well, Jesus said, he said, I want to get out of this hole, and get me out of this hole. And that mama said, you got to be kidding. She didn't teach that. He goes, well, kind of like that. That's the way it was. But Jesus Christ resurrected by his own power. He came up out of the ground. They asked Joseph of Arimathea. They said, Joseph, they said, why is it that you gave up your tomb, you gave up your grave to somebody else? He said, the reason why I gave it up, he said, because he only needed it for 3 days. We covered that the other night, about 3 days. Jesus Christ went to hell, and the Bible says he went into hell, and he went and led captivity captive, gave gifts on the men. Now, we're going to look at some of that this morning. Now, look on down to chapter 15. I'm talking fast because I know I got to get going here. And verse 13, if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith also is vain. Yea, and we are bound found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. For if he be not the, uh, uh, that if so be that the dead raise not. For if the dead raise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. In this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. We have more hope in Christ in this life. I mean, knowing that he rose from the grave. He's sitting at, the Bible tells us, if you read the book of Revelation, he's at the right hand of the Father. The Bible tells us that he's making intercession according to Hebrews chapter 7. He's making intercession as our high priest to God the Father. He's making intercession to the Father for us. And thank God he's on the right hand of God. Now, I was covering this on Wednesday night. I said, right, when Jesus Christ was on this planet, he was a prophet. He was a prophet. And right now, his position in heaven is a high priest. He's in the Holy of Holies. He's with God the Father because he's God in flesh. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. He said, I don't understand that three parts. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Well, the Bible says you're in three parts. You're one, but you're in three parts. You're a body, you're a soul, and you're a spirit. You're in three parts. You're all sitting right here right now. And God is in three parts. The only time the Trinity ever split up is when Jesus Christ came down to die for us. He had a mission. And he went and he fulfilled what God in him. The Bible says in Genesis it says that when man sinned, that God was going to provide himself a sacrifice. God was going to provide himself. So thank God the Lord paid that sin debt. But I want you to look at going down here. Look what it says in verse 20. Now if Christ rise not from the dead and become the first fruits, notice it says first fruits of them that slept. And since by man came death, and by man came also the resurrection of dead. For in Adam all died, even also in Christ shall all be made alive. If you're sitting here this morning and you're saved, the Bible says you're alive. And if you're sitting here this morning and you're not saved, the Bible says you're good as dead. You're a dead man. You say, that's pretty harsh. That's what Jesus said. Look in verse 21, 22. For in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. Notice what it says. Christ the first fruits. Afterwards, they that are Christ at his coming. That's the harvest. Then cometh the end. Notice it says, Jesus Christ, first fruits. He died 2,000 years ago. He resurrected. He's called the first fruits. If you read your Bible in Leviticus chapter 23, the Bible says that they had to bring first fruits. You say, what's first fruits? When they planted, they had a field of plants, of corn, whatever. They went by and they were checking the fruit. And they take something off and they check it and see if it was ripe yet. Jesus Christ was first fruits. Then all of a sudden they say, okay, in about a week, it'll be ready. In about a week, we're ready to harvest. And they would go out and harvest. So what is the harvest? The harvest is going to be the rapture. The harvest is when the Lord comes back to get his church right here. That's the harvest. And then the Bible talks about a gleaming. And the gleaming is in the tribulation right there. It's a gleaming. So there's seven resurrections in the Bible. Now there's some people that God rose from the dead and when he was on this planet. There's some people that God rose from the dead, but then they died again. But one day, if the Lord comes back, I believe he's going to come back in my lifetime. And God's given an example in the Bible. There's one guy in the Bible there's two guys in the Bible that never died. They went right straight to heaven. One of them was Enoch, one of them was Elijah. Enoch was, the Bible says he was walking with God. He was 300 years old. That's crazy. He walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Then Elijah goes up in a whirlwind. And Elijah goes up, but he's coming back according to Revelation chapter 11. Now, I want you to look at this morning. Now, we already looked at Jesus Christ being the first fruits. Jesus Christ is the first resurrection. He's called the first resurrection. The second resurrection, take your Bible, look at Matthew 27. The second resurrection is Old Testament saints, some of the Old Testament saints. They came up, we looked at this Wednesday night. They came up with Jesus Christ. And they went throughout the city. That's another wild thing. This Bible is the wildest book you ever want to read. You say, oh, the Bible talks about is Jesus and all that. But I'm going to tell you something, man. There's prophecy in this Bible. It tells you the future. It tells you what man, I mean, it tells you how to live. It tells you how to love your family. It tells you how to raise the children. It tells you everything. Amen. The Word of God is wild. It's a wild book. And it tells you the future. Matthew 27. You say, oh, it's the way you interpret it. The Bible is a self-interpreter. It interprets itself. Matthew 27. You're sitting here this morning. You said, preacher, I'm not interested in this stuff. I don't care. I'm just coming to church because it's Resurrection Sunday. I'm going to tell you something. You're going to be interested in one day. You will be interested. I mean, man, when things happen and things go on, and you're going to be wanting to know the truth. And Jesus said, the truth shall make you free. Amen. And look, Matthew 27. Look what the Bible says. In Matthew 27, it says, when Jesus Christ was crucified, verse 51. This is a second resurrection. After Jesus Christ, it's the first fruits. And then the Bible talks about there's going to be a harvest. Now, this is not the harvest, but this is the Old Testament saints came up out of the ground. He said, well, some of them came up. So who were they? They were probably the ones that just died. They were probably the thief on the cross. Remember the thief on the cross? How many remember the thief on the cross? Raise your hand. When Jesus Christ was being crucified, he said to the thief on the cross, he said, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. That thief on the cross accepted Jesus Christ as his Messiah. And he said, Lord, remember me when thou come thy kingdom. Say, how many came up? I don't know, but a bunch of them did. There's going to be a bunch more coming up at the resurrection. Now, look at this. Matthew chapter 27, I'm trying to hurry because the time's flying by. It says, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. The veil was probably about 6 inches thick or 9 inches thick, somewhere in there. And God ripped the veil. Why? The reason why the veil was up there, because if the Ark of the Covenant was in there, the Ark, the Holy of Holies, and if anybody looked in, they would kill them, the glory of God. So they put a veil up so nobody, only one person went in there once a year. That's the type of Jesus Christ, the high priest. If I had time, we'd go into Hebrews, we'd go into all that and show you that. But the veil was put up, and the high priest went in with blood once a year and put it on the Holy of Holies. And he got out. The veil was rent when Jesus Christ was crucified. And they walked in when they walked in the temple and they saw the veil was ripped open. They went, oh, my Lord. How many of y'all ever seen that Raiders of the Lost Ark? You ever seen that? When they opened up the Ark of the Covenant and they had the cherubims and they said melted those, man, and all that. You say, oh, that's just a bunch of, that's Hollywood. That actually happened in the Bible. It killed a bunch of people. Look here. Look at this. Behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened. Many bodies of saints which slept arose and came up out of the grave after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared on the many. So this is the second resurrection. These are Old Testament saints that died. They came up out of the ground. And they went into the city and preached. So how long did they preach? About 12 hours. They went visiting in Jerusalem for about 12 hours. That'd be wild. Man, it'd be wild if the rapture, say, there's a guy that's teaching that when the last trumpet blows, before, and it's going to be a couple of trumpets, and then all of a sudden, the last trumpet, it could be a year, or it could be a couple of days. Can you imagine if we all heard a trumpet, and all of a sudden we looked over at the graveyard, and the graves opened up? And all of a sudden people still come up out of the grave, and they started saying, he's coming! You better get ready! Amen. You'd have a heart attack. You'd think you're crazy, man. You'd pop pills or something. You would think you're nuts. But there's a guy teaching that and saying, I don't think that. I don't believe it. I believe it's going to be in the Bible says in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. But it says the last trump. Now, Donald Trump is not the last trump. Amen. He's not it. But, man, can you imagine that? Can you imagine if your loved ones came up out of the ground when the trumpet blew? That would get you sober real fast. Mm-hmm. Or you would think, my God, I've been drunk here for a while. I don't know what's happening. My God, what's happening? But here, these Old Testament saints came up, and they went into the city to visit their loved ones. That's the second resurrection. Take your Bible. Turn with me. We're going to look at all these different resurrections. Take your Bible. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2. Here's another resurrection. Most Christians don't know this. They don't know this. This is a spiritual resurrection. that happens when you got saved. How many in this room say, I'm saved, preacher? I know I'm saved. Amen. Check it out. This is a spiritual resurrection when you got saved. Now, I said this a minute ago. I said, if you're sitting here and you're not saved, the Bible says you're good as dead. You know what Jesus told a man one time? He said, Lord, what shall I do? He said, I got to go bury my family. And you know what Jesus told him? This is wild. He said, let the dead bury the dead. What in the world is he talking about? He's saying, they're not saved. You're not saved. Let the dead bury the dead. You're sitting in here this morning. If you're not saved, the Bible says you're dead. Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 1. You say, oh, preacher, that's what you're saying. No, look what the Bible says. This is a third resurrection right here. Here it is. He says, you have the quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. This world's got a course, and it's on a collision course. This world's on a collision course with God himself. I hope you're on his side, not the world's side. The Bible tells you, love not the world, neither things in the world, for all that's in the world, lust of flesh, lust of eyes, and pride of life. I want everybody to know this morning, I'm on his side. Amen. You say, God choosing up sides? Yes, he is. Whose side are you on? Amen. Whose side are you on? Where in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of what? Come on, say it with me, what? Children of disobedience. He says, among whom also ye also had our conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh, of our flesh. Because before I was saved, I was always telling dirty jokes, always telling all that filthy stuff, always talking about women, talking about all that stuff. And time past, we had our conversations in the filth of the flesh in time past. Well, I don't talk about that stuff no more. Why? Because it's not pleasing to God. It's wrong. Among also yet our conversation in time past and the lust of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh. Let me tell you something. Your flesh never gets satisfied. That's right. Amen. Right. He says, the lust of the flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even by others, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, our love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And look what it says, verse 6. You need to underline it. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together. Can you imagine that, man? The Lord, I told somebody in our church, I said, we got people from all walks of life in church. And the Christian and Bible-believing churches and in the Church of God, I'm talking about the real Church of God, there's all people from all walks of life, from different backgrounds. I mean, did all kinds of different things. And God put them all together, saved us. Jew, Gentiles in the church. We're all saved, come from different backgrounds. You got nurses, doctors, you got lawyers, you got bikers, you got thugs that got saved. You got all kinds of stuff that used to. And God put us together. And then the Bible says he made us sit together in heavenly places. Right now to God, is there a marriage supper up here? Right now, up in heaven, we're sitting at the table and God sees us there. That's called eternal security. God looks at you and he's looking down at the table. He sees you there right now. Look what it says. You say, that's a mistake in the Bible? No, it ain't. Have raised us up together and made us sit together. Look what it says. In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Right now, you're already seated there if you're saved. It says, raise us up. That's the third resurrection. Right now, I'm already in heaven. My spirit's there. But my body, my soul here. God sees me there. Ain't that wild? Now, take your Bible, turn with me to another place. Look over here. Here's another resurrection. And it talks about the resurrection of the dead. Now, take your Bible, look with me to the pre-rapture resurrection of the church age. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. So, do you believe in the resurrection? I sure do, brother.
Amen.
I sure do. Whenever I preach a funeral, I always say, always preach on this. I always use this at the gravesite. The reason why I use this at the gravesite, because they're not going to stay there. Their body's not going to stay there. They're already absent from the body, is present with the Lord. They're already there, but God's going to come back and get their body. Yep. Their bodies. In the graveyard over here, there's a lot of saints of God. All over this country, all around the world, there's saints of God that's in the grave, and he's going to come back and get them. He's going to get their body. Why? He paid for it. He paid for it. Look at verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. I hope you're writing this down. For I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. When the Bible talks about a Christian dying, it's saying his body's asleep. Now, Jehovah's Witnesses teach us soul sleep, which is a lie. There ain't no soul sleep in the Bible, because the Bible says to be absent from the body is the presence of the Lord. We're already seated in heavenly places. That's crazy to say that you're like a, you know, you just go to sleep in your body and soul and all. And the Bible says, as a point on the man wants to die, after this, the judgment. The soul sleep is crazy. They don't believe Jesus Christ was God. Jehovah's Witnesses don't. How in the world can they celebrate the resurrection? If he wasn't God, how in the world could he raise from the dead? They don't believe he was God. They don't believe he paid the sin debt. That's why they work and work and work and work and hope they could be 144,000. It's crazy. Religion, religion is messed up, brother. Religion is one of the messed up things I've ever seen. Religion, people are killing each other over religion. Yeah. And right now, ISIS, and you got the Shiites, you got the Sunnis, they kill each other. They were looking for, they're all looking for a Messiah. The Jews, the Christians, we're all looking for a Messiah. But I'll tell you what, we know our Messiah. He was crucified, he was put in the ground, and he rose from the grave. None of them believe that. None of them. You think about Buddha. Buddha's still in the ground. You can still find his bones. Muhammad is still in the ground. He's dead. He ain't going to come up. I'll tell you what Jesus Christ said. No man taketh my life. He said, I lay it down. I have power to take it up again. Thank God he's out of grave. Amen. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, no matter what men may say. Amen. He's alive. He's alive. Look what the Bible says in verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. And for we say this unto you by the Lord, the word of the Lord, that they which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. You know what that is? That's the harvest. Jesus Christ, the first fruits, then you got the harvest. One day the harvest is coming, folks. Why? The fruit is ready. Jesus is coming. Are you ready? If he came back right now, are you ready? Are you ready for the Lord to come? If he came right now, are you saved? Are you ready for Jesus? I mean, if the Lord came right now, folks, think about this. It says, at the last trump, the dead in Christ shall rise first. If the trumpet blew, and all of a sudden, in the twinkling of an eye, we'd all disappear that are saved. The only thing you'd be sitting in here, you'd be sitting in this room, and my clothes would be on the floor right here with the microphone and a puddle of blood. And where everybody's sitting, all your clothes would be sitting on them pews with your change, your money, and a puddle of blood. And we'd be gone. You know what would happen to you? You'd be sitting there going, oh my God. You'd go crazy. Why? Because you never accepted him. You say, oh, that's a fairy tale. Fourth resurrection, the rapture of the church. Are you ready? Five resurrection. Number five is the resurrection of the Old Testament saints. Take your Bible, look at Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel 37. This is another wild one. So when is this going to take place? Ezekiel 37. I'm trying to hurry. I know it's getting warm in here. Ezekiel 37. I shouldn't have said that. Now I've got it in your head. It's warm. Ezekiel 37. This is a wild scene. This is going to be a wild scene. When the Lord comes back, we go at the rapture, and the world goes through the tribulation, and all of a sudden, you got a rapture here, a resurrection here, and you got a resurrection here. See that? Resurrection. Resurrection. Look at verse 37. Look at verse 4. And the Lord tells Ezekiel, he said, see, the Jews believed in a resurrection. In John chapter 11, Jesus came to Lazarus, to the grave. And how many of y'all remember about Lazarus? You raise your hand. Remember about Lazarus? Jesus came and Mary said, Lord, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. Lord, if you were here, he wouldn't have died. And Jesus said, he'll rise again. And Martha said, Lord, we know in the last days there's going to be a resurrection. We know. The Jews knew that. They knew in the last days there's going to be a resurrection. When Paul got in trouble with the Sadducees and the Pharisees, he said, I'm a man that believes in a resurrection. Ezekiel 37 is Old Testament saints. Check this out. So God's going to allow the Jews to enter back into the land. Those Jews that kept the law, those that did what's right. Ezekiel 37, again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. For thus saith the Lord unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and your breath in you. And he says, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. A whole lot of shaking going on. And it says, and the bones came together. The knee bone came to, you know, so on. And the bones came together, and bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and skin covered them above, and there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, and prophesy, son of man, say unto the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, and they shall live. So I prophesied as they commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. And he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dry, and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. Therefore, prophesy, say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. And I will put my spirit in you, and ye shall live. And I will place you in your own land. This is going to be after Armageddon. And then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. So Israel, that's number 5, resurrection. Israel is going to be resurrected, and they're going to go back into the land, and all the Old Testament saints are going to revive Israel again. The number 6, resurrection. Take your Bible, look in Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Here's number 6, revelation. Resurrection, I mean. Revelation chapter 20. Say, man, I didn't know the Bible had that much resurrection in it. It's got a lot. Jesus Christ, first fruits, then the harvest, then now we're at the gleaming. We're at the gleaming. The gleaming. Or actually, this is the loss coming up at Revelation 20. Verse 11. Revelation 20, verse 11. And the Bible says this. I saw a great white throne, he that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was no place found for them. I usually use this at funerals as well. Look what it says. I saw the dead, small and great. God brings up the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that were in them. And death and hell was delivered up the dead. See, what is hell? Hell is a holding place. Check this out. Hell is a holding place. How many of y'all have ever been in a county jail? County jails. County jail is a holding place till you go to court. And when you go to court, you get sentenced, you go to the big house. You know what this is? These are people that rejected God. They're in hell. They get brought up, small and great. They get judged according to their works. You know why? These are the same people that say, well, I think a good person can go to heaven. And the Lord said, you think so? Let's see how good you really are. They think, oh, I keep the Ten Commandments. Oh, really? You have? Thou shalt not covet? You've kept all the Ten Commandments? The Bible says if you offend the law in one point, you're guilty for every bit. The Lord says, okay, all you people that think your good works is going to get you there, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, Catholics. You know what? I know my good works ain't going to get me there. Because the Bible tells me, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. The Baptists don't have the corner lot on salvation. But I'm going to tell you something. Methodists, they were on fire at one time. But people that believe that book and believe salvation by faith, for by grace are you saved through faith, for yourself is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, that's the ones that are saved. And people say, well, I've got my religion, you got yours. I was baptized when I was a kid. Oh, I went to church all my life, and they've never told me. You think your good works won't get you there? Look at here. And the sea gave up the dead that were in them, and death and hell were delivered up the dead that were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Look what it says. This is the second death. I tell people at funerals, I say, look, if you're not born twice, Jesus said you must be born again. If you're not born twice, you die twice. That's number six resurrection. The last resurrection, take your Bible, look in Revelation 11. Revelation 11. I'm trying to hurry. There's so much to this, folks. There's so much. Revelation 11, most, if you've been in this church any amount of time, we've covered this time and time again. If you've been here any amount of time, you know that. And this is Revelation chapter 11. This is going to be wild. The other day, it came across my phone. Somebody sent me something. It was, I don't know how I got it. It was from ISIS. I'm serious. Somebody sent it that was on the web page of ISIS. And I looked at that thing. And man, all I could think of was about Moses and Elijah. They had two Syrian men sitting there on the couch. A bunch of soldiers around them. Some of them were soldiers, some of them weren't. And I couldn't understand what they were saying. They were speaking in Aramaic or Syrian. And they reached over and they were slapping these men and kept slapping. Those men never retaliated. And what, I guess why somebody sent it to me, because these two men were Christians. Woo! And they beat those men. I watched it. Jesse said to me, why are you watching that? I said, it makes me realize, man, one day, if our families don't get saved, we don't get them saved, and the Lord comes back, there's going to be people left behind. And these men beat these men, and then they grabbed them, and they took them out, and these men never retaliated. They took them out, and they threw one of them to the ground, and they walked over and got a block, a cement block, and put it down, and that man put his head on there. And they started chanting. And they chanted, and they were going like crazy, like the devils were in them. And a guy took his machete and went, what? And didn't cut his head the first time. He had to hit him three times. And they got his head, and they started chanting, holding it up. The other guy sitting there watching, Christian. They took another block, put it over here. They laid him down, put his head on it. And they started chanting again while the other one was holding his head up. And they chopped that guy's head, and they worked on him and chopping. Then they walked up, and they took their machine guns and just filled their bodies with bullets. I watched that, and I thought, my God. How cruel man can be. How harsh people can be. In my own heart, before I was saved, I was like that. I didn't care. When I started thinking about, man, people dying and going to hell, I started thinking about Moses and Elijah. Look what the Bible says. Revelation 11. Moses and Elijah is going to have, they're going to come back. And they know they're going to come back, and they know they're going to die. And Moses and Elijah is going to get their heads cut off. You know what, folks? Right now, if people didn't believe the Bible, right now you can see it around the world. People are dying. But Moses and Elijah is going to get resurrected. That's going to be a wild scene. Look what the Bible says. And I'm going to close with this. Revelation chapter 11. Look at verse 3. I will give power unto my two witnesses. That's Moses and Elijah. It describes who they are. And they shall prophesy 1,260 days. Moses and Elijah is still coming. They're coming. Clothed in sackcloth. These two olive trees, the two candlesticks, stand before God of the earth. If any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devour their enemies. If any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. Then it says they have power to shut heaven, that it rain not. That's Elijah, days of their prophecy. Have power to over the waters to turn them to blood, Moses, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will, Moses. And when they had finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies, look what it says, their dead bodies shall lie in the streets of that great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindred and tongue and nation shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in the graves. See, a Jewish tradition is if you don't get a person in the ground after one day, they're not going to be a part of the resurrection. They let their bodies lay in the street in the sun. They drag their bodies through. I don't know if y'all ever seen that, you know, that thing in Somalia where our troops were drugged through the streets. And they cut them up. They drug them on the back of jeeps. Drug their bodies. That stuff is going on right now. Their dead bodies shall lie in the street of that great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Jerusalem. All this stuff is going to happen in Jerusalem. And they of the people and kindred and tongue and nation shall be see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their bodies to be put into graves. And they shall dwell upon the earth, shall rejoice over them. They're shouting just like those guys did. Just like they did, holding up their heads, rejoicing. They shall dwell upon the earth, shall rejoice over them, and make merry, shall send gifts one to another, like Christmas time. Because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. After 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet. And it says, and great fear fell on all upon them which saw them. I guess it did. After you cut somebody's head off and beat them, put rivets their bodies, bullets, and all of a sudden, after 3.5 days, after you drug them all over town and rejoicing, sending gifts to one another, and all of a sudden their heads go poop right back on their body and you stand up. Say, all the world's going to see it. There's no way that could have happened until 1970s. Telstar was put in space, a satellite. So CNN could be televised. Fox News, all the other news, cable news, 24 hours a day. We're that close.
Yep. Amen.
And people say, oh, where's the promise of his coming? He's coming. Amen. You better be ready. Yep. You better be saved. Look what the Bible says. And it says, fear fell upon them which saw them, and they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up into heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. Their enemies stood there and went, my Lord, we did everything we could to kill them.
Yeah.
We cut off their head. He said, how do you know they cut off their head? Revelation chapter 20 tells you that they cut off the heads. My Lord, man. I believe in a resurrection. The Bible teaches there's a resurrection. The Bible says that as you got saved, you're saved, you already seated there. You belong to God. Let me ask you something. Are you living? Paul said, he said, I live by the power of the resurrection of the Son of God. Are you living your life as a child of God under the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? When I baptize people in that baptismal pool, after they're saved, I say, buried with him in baptism, raised with him in newness of life. And if you're saved in here, and you name the name of Christ, and you're not living for him, you're denying the faith. You're saying, I don't believe the resurrection. I don't believe he's alive. I don't believe he's sitting at the right hand of God making intercession for me. I'll tell you what, you need to get right. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. Why? Say, preacher, when is this going to happen? It's future. I don't know when, but I believe it's going to be in my lifetime. I believe it's going to be in your lifetime. You say, well, Donald Trump's in, everything's going to be all right. No, we're looking at, man, we could get in some kind of nuclear wars. Ready or not, Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Are you saved? Do you know it? Do you love him? And Father, thank you again this morning. Thank you for that Bible. Lord, that Bible straightened up anything, straightened out things. I pray, God, you help my brothers and sisters this morning. Here we come this morning on Resurrection Sunday, come to worship you. And I'm worshiping you in my heart, thanking you for your mercy. Thank you for being so good to us. Thank you for giving us a Bible.